I'm Jack, your host, and this is the Right in the Feels podcast. Whether you're a guy trying to figure out your feels in this crazy, crazy world, or you're a woman trying to solve the puzzle of why men think the way they do, well, this show is for you. And we are back. It's me, your host, Jack. This is episode 21. Let's call this the Blackjack episode. As usual, I'm your friendly Asian American dude talking about his feelings. No way, right? Yeah way. All the way. To Feelsfinity and beyond. Let's put the motion in emotion. It's just me today, so this conversation will be an intimate one between me and you. There is no better Right in the Feels experience than that. We had a string of episodes with guests, and I simply love recording with friends of the show. It's very different than talking into this mic solo, I'll tell you that much. I do hope you enjoyed those conversations because there will be much more to come, much, much more. Because as this podcast develops, in which you guys are the fuel, the energy, the life force, the power that keeps this engine running, I plan on continuing and being in this creative endeavor, and having this developing organism of this podcast has been cool as hell. Well, hot as hell sounds more appropriate. It's sizzling in LA right now. Let's just grow this baby into an awkward, angsty teenager with all the feels. There are so many ideas popping up left and right. I hope to start developing more intention series on the podcast that can give you listeners a better expectation. For example, a series that features artists. A series maybe called Art of the Hustle that highlights entrepreneurs. And of course, topics to do with relationships, dating and love, sex, and most of all, giving an insight on men and how they process their feelings, struggles, and issues will always be the core, the heart and soul of this podcast. What are men thinking, not thinking, and why? Okay, all in due time. I have to remind myself of the teachings from Master Oogway from the movie Kung Fu Panda. You are too concerned with what was and what will be. There is a saying, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. So, before we start on today's topic, I thank you for being here, listening to this podcast, and sharing it, as I realize more than ever, this moment is what's important. The connection is the purpose, and today is the gift. With all that said, let's get into it. What are we here for today? Porn. The P word. Men and porn. The dirty secrets and the truth about men and porn. Oh yeah, we are going there. What are these dirty secrets? Do the secrets need to be dirty? Psst, no they don't. So if you are a man wondering what the role of porn has been or should be in your life and how it might have affected your mentality and your relationships and want to look deeper, or if you are a woman curious as to why men love porn so much, how porn might have an effect on their personal life, and what's going on behind the curtain of what men might not want to tell you, this episode is only the beginning of some of that exploration. Part 1, go. Let's start with this first. Women, girls, females, have you ever asked a male friend, a boyfriend, just any guy really, if they watch porn and they have answered no, or maybe sheepishly, not really? Let me tell you this right now, unequivocally, he is absolutely lying. Why might he be lying? Let's see. It's because he doesn't want you to think negatively of him. He probably is gauging what you think of the subject of porn and doesn't want to be judged. He might feel embarrassed or think porn is taboo or dirty because culturally or environmentally, it's conservative and frowned upon. Society still in general views porn as a dirty secret in which you leave behind closed doors. Keep that to yourself. Ew, gross, type of deal. The ultimate picture of porn is a guy by himself in the dark with some lotion and a computer screen. How about if you're in a relationship or your boyfriend answers no, or not a lot? He's lying for similar reasons. How do I know this? This is not just because I'm a dude, and I know because I watch porn. So sorry, brothers, but the truth is the truth, so I hope I didn't get you in trouble. But the truth will set you free, us free. But beyond the fact I know from personal experience, there has been research done for this, and a survey by an Australian and Danish psychologist was taken that spanned over 300 men, ages ranging from 18 to 73. Three-fifths were men under 25, two-fifths were men over 25, and this survey began with yes or no questions like, have you ever watched pornography? Have you watched porn in the last 6 months? And then they were asked frequency of viewing porn, age which they viewed porn first, age when they began to regularly watch porn. The results, drumroll, 97% have watched porn at some point in their lives. 94% watch porn in the last 6 months, and 84% watch porn regularly. So maybe the guy you talk to or know is in that 3% of never watching porn, or 6% of not having watched porn in the last 6 months, or even better, 16% of not watching porn regularly. Either way, he's most likely lying. Percentages and stats don't lie. All kidding aside, we want to look at this in the perspective of why a lie is even being told. Do men feel shame watching porn? How does it affect their mentality, internally and in relationships? Should women feel more insecure knowing that their boyfriends or significant others are watching porn? I think at the root of the chasm, or better said, separation in understanding between men and women with the topic of porn, that then translates to sex and sexuality, is because the difference of exposure to porn starting at a young age. This causes a lot of misunderstanding, miscommunication, and non-communication for both, between both genders. For the purposes of the episode, I am focusing on more heterosexual scope of porn, as I can't speak to or for the homosexual experience. With that said, if we just think about how girls and boys are raised, there are a lot of differences, gender biases. Girls in general are taught to be more conservative about sex, or conservative even about exploring their own sexuality. That doesn't just go into sexual intercourse, but also masturbation. In much of Western society, under which a lot of it is based on Christian values, and in general over all societal values, girls are influenced to be guarded, and that their body should be protected and valued differently than boys. Sex and female sexuality is highly commercialized and a prized commodity, overtly sexualized and sold as a product. If you just turn on the TV or open any social media app, it is painfully obvious what gets the most likes and views. If you don't know already, there's a lot of hypocrisy in society. And as the classic marketing saying goes, sex sells. So let's make money. But privately, what is being taught behind closed doors is that sex is bad. Sexuality is taboo for young girls. Parents teach their young daughters or women that these are the perils of society. What's some of the things a lot of parents think the worst case scenario will be for their young daughters? That's probably becoming a stripper, a prostitute, and of course, a porn star. So you have that on one hand. Girls are supposed to be conservative in a world that's trying to explore their sexuality. But what about boys? Boys can explore. If a boy is watching porn or masturbating, it's fine. Boys will be boys. They will be curious, and that's okay. But when a younger girl is to be caught watching porn or exploring her sexuality, what does that say about her? Sound the alarms. Will she be promiscuous in the future? There must be something wrong. Men having a lot of sex or pursuing and seeking to have a lot of sex or having many more sexual partners, more notches on that belt, is normalized. He's a James Bond, but when a woman does that, she's called a nymphomaniac. This is the chasm, the big separator. So what can we expect if there is this huge gap? How can society teach two genders two different things? What will end up giving? Something has to give. This dam will burst. You got men taught to explore their sexuality, have more partners, get it out of their system. And on the other hand, women need to be protective, not be seen as a slut or whore. And if you have too many sexual partners, it's a negative. We got a 50-50 population between men and women. These two extremes simply don't exist. Men pursuing sex, women taught to reserve sex, and we all know humans have sex. Everybody falls in the middle, and that middle is full of shame, guilt, confusion, and misunderstanding. This is where porn enters, representing the underground, the dirty, more unacceptable idea of sex sells, in which it does. Porn is a billion-dollar business. Let me put this in perspective. The combined annual revenue of the major networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, is less than what the porn industry generates. Porn is in high demand, and there is a ton of money to be made. Dirty or not, it is being consumed by men and women. And when talking about porn, it's disproportionately being consumed by men compared to women. When looking at the most top adult websites, 70% of the user base is men and the other 30 women. This is why men and women view it differently and why they can't communicate from these two potentially opposing viewpoints and perspectives based purely on exposure, to feel accepted, or to reach an understanding, because psychological influences are so drastically different. Now, if we are talking about personal experience, since I'm the one here today and talking and blabbing along, I'll be the first to raise my hand and share. Being vulnerable, you have to risk embarrassment. Time to talk the talk and walk the walk, Jack. I know my mom doesn't listen to this podcast, since she probably doesn't even know what a podcast is. And if my sister is, I get it if she doesn't proceed further. I want to give my personal perspective and share my experience of how porn has affected my psyche, especially at a younger age. Most young boys are exposed to porn around the age of 12 and 13, now probably even younger, and I was no different. Granted, when I was in middle school, that was in the late 90s, so the internet was just starting to become a thing, and I think porn is way more accessible now. It really started at the basis of curiosity. The hormones are raging, and there are way more questions than answers. So being around other younger boys, my friends and schoolmates, you look to anybody who can give you those answers. I remember there was a time one friend stole a Playboy magazine from his dad, and we all ran into the school bathroom. A bunch of boys gathered to see what was in the magazine. Shocker, a naked woman. I think he got it from under his dad's mattress, funny enough. Oh, the days of youth. Oh my God, it's a naked girl. Of course, as they say, curiosity killed the cat. Or once you open Pandora's box, there's no turning back. It didn't stop at a magazine. The imagination and curiosity only exponentially grew. In high school, when the internet was definitely becoming a thing, the world of porn opened to new levels. We graduated to a new level of content accessibility and consumption. There was a time still, I remember back in the day, I was so curious and didn't have any access, that would flip to a late night adult cable channel in which the screen was pixelated to see what I could see through the pixelation. Comical to think about in retrospect from a grown man's point of view, and how technology has changed that no teenager has to do that anymore. You teenagers nowadays, so lucky. But in one of my most embarrassing moments, when my family visited my dad in Asia and my parents were out, I would go onto the computer and look at an adult website. Of course, being the rookie I was then, I didn't clear the search history. Worst mistake ever. Long story short, my dad caught wind, had to sit me down and tell me not to go on the computer. Interestingly enough, it wasn't the birds and bees talk that was given to me, but more so, these women that you see on these sites, they are not ones you marry. Not an ideal way to talk to your son about porn, and also confusing since not much more explanation is given. This is exactly what the Asian child experience is. No explanations, but orders given. Underlined in that little talk was the shame and the idea of sexual exploitation that is embedded in pornography. Let's go back to high school. A friend of mine that would go to the local DVD and video rental store, we're talking about VHS days. If you don't know what a VHS is, I don't blame you. Just laugh at how dated I am. And he would ask the owner if he could buy some adult videos or DVDs. We would take those videos and sell them at the high school for a profit because other young boys were interested. In a weird way, you can say I was in the porn business for a little. I can title that time in my life the art of the porn hustle. Eventually, we graduated the business with using the internet and ripping CDs to sell. But at some point, everybody had faster internet while dial-up became a thing of the past. Anybody younger than 30 listening to this probably has no idea what I'm talking about. And that's okay. So yes, my high school years and most other men's young high school years are the first years of exposure to porn. And let me say, porn is vast. A bottomless pit like the internet is. Whatever fetish you can think of, whatever interest you have, it can probably be found. With that noted, what did porn mean to me at that age? At first, it was purely curiosity in trying to understand what the female body is, outside through learning about it based on anatomy in biology class and sex ed in school, but more in a sexual way and what sex is. I mean, when you got other teenage boys trying to tell you what sex is, bragging about experiences that they probably never had, more lies. I tell you, men fib. And my Asian parents refusing to give me the birds and bees talk or acknowledging anything in the scope and realm of sex, you don't got any good sources of information. So boys go to porn, and that's what porn means at first. What comes after that? If my ideas of sex and sexuality, for the most part, are first formed and shaped from porn, that's where the deep dive will begin for a lot of young men as they grow older and start to actually have sexual experience, relationship experience. does it mirror the examples they get from watching porn? We can also take into account, as I mentioned earlier, for a lot of young girls, they aren't exposed to porn, if at all, like boys are at similar ages. So this divide and gap in psychology in reference to sex and sexuality is a thing. With that said, let's go back to my personal experience. On one side of the fence, I'm watching porn and thinking that's how sex is, should be, right? On the other side, as I finally managed to get a girlfriend towards the end of high school, I'm closer to losing my virginity. Are these two experiences going to collide, and will they mirror each other? Will my first sexual experience after watching pornographic sex scenes starting at age 12 be reflective of that? Absolutely not. I was no porn star when I lost my virginity. So when I reflect back to my high school friends bragging about sex, they were lying. Lies, I tell you. Men lie. Those freaking posers. So quickly, what is the first thing that comes from this? In that real life sexual experience will very likely not be a porn scene. Why is that? Well, if you are young and don't realize fully that porn is a fantasy, it's produced, edited, written, scripted as fantasy. It's created because at the core, sex is something humans are always going to be intrigued by, but it's produced in a way that will take reality and notch it all the way up to fantasy. To make an analogy that will help women listeners, let's pull in K-drama or a rom-com. I know, right? What does Korean drama and porn have in common, if anything? At the heart of K-drama, the interest in romance and love in a narrative form, scripted, but for entertainment purposes, it has to reflect a more theatrical and fantasy aspect to draw your attention, to generate viewership, which in turn generates profit. Why are love stories in K-drama, for lack of a better word, so dramatic? Because that's what gets your juices flowing. That's the dopamine hit. That's the addiction, why you want to binge it, where the fantasy aspect moves from your brain and transmit into your body, making you feel euphoric and elated. The same goes for men and porn. It's fantasy inducing, and the purpose is to create a mental and physical response based on that fantasy. That's why men also want to binge porn, quote unquote binge, bordering addiction sometimes, or it becomes an addiction. Weird to draw those two parallels, K-drama and porn, but it's true. Think about it. How often does any real-life love story actually reflect a K-drama series or a Prince Charming in a Disney story? The same goes for sexual experience. How often is a normal sex life reflective of what men see in porn? Losing my virginity is the prime example of that, the difference between fantasy and reality. Of course, with real-life experience, whether in sex or real-life romance, you become more grounded, right? Not always. So now that we have introduced the fantasy aspect of what porn is, how did that affect my mentality as a young man starting to be sexually active? It definitely had an effect in many hidden and subconscious ways. Porn was a measure in a way of what sex should be, quote unquote good sex should be, how I should derive pleasure, and also how I should give pleasure. Not fully understanding that porn is a performative show, it had a direct effect on my confidence and the perception of how sex should be. Another important point is that 90% of porn is geared for the male viewer. So it's safe to assume the fantasy product that is being created is purely in the perspective of what men want, which goes back to my point of the big separator of men, women, porn, and sex that translates into real life experiences that are happening in the bedroom. I was using porn as a measure, not fully conceptualizing these nuances, that even what I was watching as an example is completely from the viewpoint of a male fantasy. Key word, fantasy, and not reality. So when you bring it to real world experience with a real partner, whether that's a girlfriend or a hookup, how are men looking at sex? Are they looking at it in the proper light if they can't sift through the fantasy versus reality? Even in the execution of using porn as a tool to real life sex, does that make sex even any good? From a young age, I struggled with this internally and not even knowing fully what the struggle really was. Porn was one of the principal reasons in this struggle. If we key into the fantasy versus reality component of what porn can do to the male mind, confidence is at the heart of it. Outside of what men may struggle with, which is confidence in their own body as they grow into it, which if some of it is rooted in porn, a negative mentality may emerge. As it comes to the most obvious, their penis size. Am I big enough? The age-old question arises, does size matter? Because if porn is one of the few measures for a young male, it is not a realistic measure. you got men joking a lot about how big of a penis they may have. If you want to quickly research the average male penis size versus the size of penis you see in porn, the vast portion of men who are bragging about their penises are probably lying. Again, lying. Think about it in this aspect as a comparison. Victoria's Secret runway show, which is canceled now, by the way, you have supermodels called angels, and they would perform a runway show. Are these models an accurate representation of what a normal female body is? Of course not. The company is trying to sell a product, and to sell the product, they need to create a fantasy, which in this case is marketing a standard in which, quote unquote, the average person will struggle to achieve. You buy this product to feel like this angel. Is it possible this can distort the perception of confidence for a woman who doesn't look like that? Of course it can. Correct representation, as we all know, is not always and oftentimes rarely the goal. For many boys, watching porn has the same effect. They watch first based on curiosity, then they use it as a stimulus to masturbate since, as we all know, men are very visual creatures, and in time it creates an association and perception with how men should look like in sex, how men should perform. This is how the confidence of boys and men can be affected through porn. Porn is a fantasy. Life is not a fantasy. Life is based in reality. When men try to create fantasy-like situations in reality without properly separating the two or understanding the differences, disappointment is inevitable. This kind of disappointment can lead to mental health issues based in sexuality and self-confidence derived through sexuality, self-worth and insecurity being at the heart of the issue, and can create a very unhealthy mindset that is exhibited in many different ways. How do men try to create fantasy-like situations based on porn then? The biggest component of that is the objectification of women. If you look at porn as a whole, without getting into the specifics, the most common theme is that women, actresses, the roles and characters that they're given follow a trend. They are an object, specifically placed there to please the man. Women many times are portrayed as weak and vulnerable, or the opposite, very inexplicably drawn sexually to a man for no reason and not based on any factors of attraction like character, integrity, or real value. It's generally purely physical. These two extreme portrayals exist for one reason. It is to satisfy the viewer's fantasy that if they see themselves as the male character, the woman's role in it is to please the main character's physical desire. Is there a danger in the objectification of women in porn? Yes, very much so. Without proper life experience or education in teaching what's appropriate and not, there is no doubt it can be negative. Initially, we're talking about young man's confidence when rooting their sexual identity through porn. This is the even darker side, the psyche of how men see women, especially with sex. For many men, sex, if tied to porn, which underlying or most often blatantly is the objectification of women. It is about possessing. It is about conquering. It is about self-gratification through a porn-like performance that has more to do with the man than the woman. When you start to equate sex with these things, you take the vulnerability and the connection out of sex. You replace it with ego, the male ego. Don't get me wrong. Sex can just be about the physical. Two people can hook up simply because they are attracted to each other. But when you anchor your sexual identity into the fantasy of porn, then it will play out in negative ways in your sex life, in your relationships, or more deeply in your psyche, which will be reflected in different aspects of your life. What men think about themselves, how men perceive women, the idea of what women enjoy in sex without having the vulnerability to communicate and engage in conversation that is based in reality. Pulling K-drama in again, a woman wanting their man just to fit a stereotype of a savior is similar to the idea of a man through porn stereotype a woman into a sexual object. Both are different, but at the root, it is to place a role onto a complex human being. The dark side of men and porn also comes down to a lot of men, which is an addiction to porn. Men don't become addicted to porn just because they are enjoying watching the content at a high volume. It becomes a compulsive behavior because, as I've been mentioning, the further you become detached from reality, many people become detached to reality because of the disappointment they feel in real life when the cross-section of fantasy and reality meet. Oh, the men in K-dramas don't actually exist in real life. The guys on the dating apps are douchebags. The idea of anchoring your mentality into the fantasy becomes more addictive and easier to do. This goes for any type of addiction. You can replace porn with alcohol, cocaine, or any other type of vice. Why do men become detached from reality through porn? One of the reasons is they feel they are lacking that in their real life. Maybe it's because for many men, having porn-like sex where a hot woman is just inexplicably drawn to you and wants to please you, no questions asked, is not happening. Because obviously it's not realistic at all. This can be very disappointing, and to satisfy this unrealistic desire only plays out by consuming porn. Meeting a woman, trying to win her over, dealing with possible rejection, and beyond that, dealing with a relationship and the complexity of that seems like a mentally draining process that is complicated versus having carefree sex. Another example where a root of addiction can be is that for a man, real life sex has become disappointing. Because if your expectations of sex is always in a porn-like performance, whether that be as the man as the star or the woman as the all-star performer, the reality becomes most guys aren't such a star performer, or the woman they are having sex with are not performing the way that they think they should be, or become disappointing that's actually not good sex. This disappointment or failure is internalized in many ways, and to live in the fantasy by consuming more and more porn is, again, a far easier choice. The detachment of figuring out real-life problems, particularly with a partner sexually, or even more importantly, the inner growth to be made in sexuality by understanding healthy boundaries and values in sexuality, feels much more difficult and mounting, that the addiction takes a stronger hold. Whew! This might be a lot to digest because I've touched upon a lot of concepts about men and porn, and with each concept, that can be an episode and conversation in itself, which is why I'm going to split this in parts. Part 1, which is today's episode, will just be the introduction of some of these ideas. Part 2, I will bring on a male guest to have a conversation about these issues of men and porn through personal lived experience. And part 3, final part, will be a female guest in discussing a woman's perspective about porn and what they've had to deal with in whether their relationships or their own personal experience with porn. We will get all to it, all the feels. With that all said, I do want to end this episode answering some common questions that men and women struggle with in relation to porn. Some I framed earlier in this episode. First, the most simple one, is porn bad? Yes and no. There's never a clear answer. It's similar to the question of, is violence in video games bad? What is this all at the end of the day? Entertainment. But the influence of entertainment is strong and can't be denied. So can it be bad if your main influence of your values in life are based on entertainment? Whereas if your values and character are based in something more grounded, like real life experiences, teachers, mentors, then you can view entertainment as a fantasy and separate it from reality. Overall, the objectification of women in porn is not good for the male psyche and also not good for women in society. So I think I can agree to that being bad in porn. Second, many women have these questions. If my partner watches porn, what does that say about me? It might feel like cheating almost because he is fantasizing about other women through porn. Does he find me less attractive? My answer to this is, he watched porn before meeting you. As in this episode, I said men start watching porn already as teenagers. It probably has been a regular use thing or consistent thing through their lives. The truth is, his use of porn is not about you. Should you feel jealous, he fantasizes about other women in porn. These women in porn for him has always been a means to an end, basically to use it as a visual tool to masturbate. But an attraction to entertainment like women who crush on a pop star or K-drama character, ask yourself, how much does this affect you in reality? You can probably differentiate the two. Of course, there are people that can't. If you can't, you'll probably start feeling very disappointed in your relationship and get depressed. The same goes for men. Lastly, of course he finds you attractive if he is with you. The issue of insecurity usually at the core starts with yourself. Third is the last question to end today. If porn as described can have all these negative effects, especially on the male psyche, and porn can have a negative effect on relationships between men and women, what can we do? We can discuss it, like on this podcast. This gap, the separator of how men and women see porn or communicate about porn, that's the gap that needs to close. If men and women can have open, vulnerable conversations without judgment at first, then we can humanize the issue on both sides. Whether that be about the objectification of women in porn, or the idea that men need more visual stimulation and porn being one of their tools and not needing to hide it. To take the shame away opens the door to real conversation that ties into developing a healthier mentality, or even exposing underlying issues that need more critical thinking. The first exposure to porn is opening Pandora's box. But the biggest Pandora's box to open will always be about communication and what we have deemed as the dirty secrets of men in porn. The secrets don't need to be dirty. I cannot wait to record part 2 and part 3 because those conversations are the ones that can bring down the wall even more, and then we can engage in real dialogue that illuminates all these issues to help men understand the role of porn in their lives even more, but on the top of that, close the gap of understanding between men and women with porn. Thank you dearly for listening to another installment of Right in the Fields. If you can, I would very much appreciate it if you rate, subscribe, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. As always and forever, I hope this episode finds you well. Cheers.